call it old.
No, I said old business.
Good morning. The first item under old business is change of zone 1881, the Norman Stephen Price Revocable Trust, Lakelands, and I think it's now Milo's Corner. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing. They did recommend approval of the change of zone from GR to a GRRPC for reasons 1 through 12 and conditions 13A through R. The County Council held a public hearing on the 21st of May. At that time, you deferred for further consideration.
So what do we do? How do we proceed?
Mr. Vice President, did you...
I have no idea what Mike does sitting right next to me during all these hearings.
He would ask if there was any questions from any of the other council members. And then ask that I read short title if not.
Are there any questions from any of the council?
No.
Mr. Moore, would you read the short title, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Vice President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a GR General Residential District to a GRRPC General Residential District, residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 71.754 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 12, with the conditions numbered 13A through R.
The chairman is back. And
Mr. President, I've read the short title with the conditions.
Okay. Pleasure, counsel.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Riley, in your district, you go first.
I'd like to vote yes for the reasons given by planning and zoning, along with the conditions presented by planning and zoning.
Mr. Hudson.
I vote yes based on the conditions and reasons for by planning and zoning.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes on what PZ recommended.
Mr. Burton.
I'm in favor of the application based on planning and zoning's recommendations and the conditions placed on it.
I also agree with planning and recommendations and conditions. I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Thank you. The next item is an ordinance that was introduced last year. Public hearings were both held last year. So at this point, based on that, Mr. Wilson, Mr. Vincent, and Mr. Burton would be able to vote on this application. This was brought before. We recognized there were some issues we were trying to resolve in the C4. Planning Commission did recommend approval. And then there was discussion at the County Council that was not resolved before the end of the year, so it is now before you to make a determination of what you'd like to do and how you'd like to proceed.
Mr. Burton?
Well,
make a motion here, or
should we make a motion first or no?
Well, yeah, make a motion and we'll discuss it and we'll vote somehow. Yeah. Yeah.
So I move.
Maybe the short title first, I guess, over there.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the Code of Sussex County, Chapter 115, Article 21D, Roman numerals, Sections 115-83.26, 115-83.27, 115-83.31, and 115, Attachment 4, Sussex County, Table 4, Roman numerals.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton. Will you second it?
I don't know what we're told about yet.
It's an ordinance that was to amend the zoning code for C4.
I'd like to have more explain what Mr. Moore's talking about here.
I can give my opinion.
You want to explain?
Sure. The ordinance, we adopted the new C4 zoning district well over about a year ago. At that time, we recognized there were some items that we were trying to clarify in the C4 district. So we brought forth an ordinance that was introduced by County Council, had a recommendation, went through the public hearing process. And right now, we're trying to figure out how you would like to address the situation regarding those corrections. It was to address the amount of residential that would be permitted, and it addressed the item regarding the lot area, about if you could have multiple parcels could be counted towards the acreage, because there's confusion in the code regarding that.
Lot, what did you say about lots going to be, acreage of lot?
So right now, there's some confusion in the code that the intent of this ordinance was to address was about that you could have multiple parcels equal the minimum acreage size, and not just the one parcel had to be 3 acres in size. You could have multiple parcels that would equal 3 acres that could be zoned C4. And that was one of the items that was attempted to be fixed per the proposed ordinance.
So what was the recommendation?
The Planning Commission did recommend approval of the ordinance. They also recommended that the amount of residential be increased from the proposed 40% to 65%, and that the residential mixed use portion of the site not be counted towards the overall density.
We're talking about something a year ago, right?
We're talking about something that happened back in December.
About a year ago?
Yes, last year, late last year.
Okay. I guess that's why I was wild thinking what you're trying to put across here to me.
Do you care to second that motion?
I'll give you a second.
Motion, Mr. Burton, a second, Mr. Wilson. Questions on the motion? Mr. Burton, you have questions or?
Yeah, I just have a comment because way back when we changed the commercial code in Sussex County, we divided it up so that it was a lot more predictable in nature. And the C4 was one of those new commercial zonings. And my impression of the commercial zoning, the C4 commercial zoning, was if somebody wanted to have a strip mall and then apartments above it, and that made sense to me. That's good use of space. When the tweak came and it went down, when the tweak came, planning and zoning then changed the percentage from, is it 40 or 20?
40. Well, the code was 20, the proposal was 40, and then the Planning Commission recommended 65.
Right. So when it went from 20% residential to 65% residential, it really became a high-density residential subdivision with a commercial component. And it just, to me, it lost the original commercial intent, right?
Are we saying we're going to try to make it stay more commercial? Build more malls? Is that what you're saying?
Change into your mic.
Okay. Go ahead, IG.
So what the commercial zoning as it was proposed was commercial zoning 20% residential, right? So my vision was 20% up top, but it could have been 20% homes in the back. When it was reintroduced and tweaked at county council, it went down as 40% to take it from 20 to 40. Planning and zoning then changed it to 65% residential. So that's a big switch. That's a high density residential development, because in commercial you're allowed 12 units to the acre. So if you switch it from 20 to 65 and then allow of that 65% to be 12 units to the acre, you're creating a high density residential.
How much piece land are we talking about here?
Up to 3 acres.
It was 3 acres is the minimum.
3 acre was the minimum.
At least 3 acres.
Has to be at least 3 acres.
It could be any size beyond that it wants to be, I guess it could be.
Correct.
Right. So
they go up to 100 if you want to, right?
Sure.
You could go to whatever Wilson Farm is.
So if they want to put a commercial out in front of it, why couldn't you go right on back and put a house all in back of it?
Under the old code, it was only 20% residential. It now reads 65% residential, right?
What? Well, it's introduced to 40.
It was introduced to 40 and then brought back to us as 65% residential. And to me, I just think that if we are looking to have a high density residential zoning, we should do that. we shouldn't do it through a commercial zoning. We should have a commercial zoning, and we should have a residential zoning. But this is a mixture of the two, and it's skewed quite heavily on the residential side when it goes from 20 to 40 and now to 65. I just think the ramifications of that percentage needs to be looked at as how it's really going to be used in the density at 12 and 65%.
Are you saying the developers should come back for another rezoning? Is that what we're asking here?
No, the developer wasn't here.
How about developers developing the shopping mall here?
We've had no applications.
What do you want to call it?
We've had no applications of this C4 zoning at the 20% or the 40%. So something tells me there's something wrong there. I just don't know that the swing needs to go from 20 to 65 without a look. You know, I don't know how the 65 is going to impact the intent of the C4 zoning. So my concern is that we're moving from a commercial application to a residential application inside of our commercial code.
I might have to get you a crystal ball.
I would like one.
Any more questions? Okay, Mr. Moore, I guess you read the short title. What are that?
I believe we had done that already.
Okay, we did it. That's the IG talk here. And what we're voting on then would be the 40 or the 65?
So the ordinance is introduced was the 40. The recommendation coming out of the Planning and Zoning Commission was the 65.
So we could vote for the 40 and not 65?
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
Or anywhere in between.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the news is 40, so you put whatever. Okay. We will.
As I read it, it was just the short title without any amendments from planning and zoning.
Right.
In other words, they're forced to stay to 40.
That's the way it was read.
Yes.
Yeah, if it is so approved.
So that's what we're supposed to be voting on, right?
That's the way it's read. That's where your motion is at this point.
Correct. We'll take the vote. Mr. Wilson?
No.
Mr. Burton?
No.
Not that I have more.
No, you're good. I'm not so sure I'm not okay with the 40, but I want to hear, I guess, other sides of this thing. Mr. Burton seemed to think there's other options out there, so I'll vote no, motion defeated, and we will start the same process over again, I guess.
We can do that.
Mr. Burton's whatever he wants to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Grant requests.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is West Rehoboth Community Land Trust. They are requesting $5,000 for their affordable housing program. Recently, they bought land to start a third Habitat house in their community. Last grant received was $3,500, which was $2,500 for Mr. Cole and $1,000 for Mr. Burton, and Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
Hudson.
I would do $2,500 out of my account.
Okay.
And I'll do the same as I did, $1,000.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Burton. To grant $3,500 to the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust for affordable low-income housing, being $2,500 from Mr. Hudson's account, $1,000 Mr. Burton's account. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I will get the motion carried.
Okay, the next one is True Blue Jazz. They're requesting $7,500 for their annual festival. The funds from the festival benefit student music programs. And with your permission, Mr. Eddie Sherman and Ms. Peggy Rowley is here to speak.
Come right on down. Eddie Sherman. Looks a lot like Sherman Ward.
Mr.
You have him? Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking the time to let us talk to you folks for a minute. I'm Peggy Rayleigh. This is Eddie Sherman, a.k.a. Sherman Ward, It makes life interesting. I get to be married to both of them.
There you go. You're lucky woman.
True Blue Jazz is, we are the independent straight-ahead jazz festival conceived and executed by us for preservation of America's one and only true art form, and that is jazz. It's the only art form that truly belongs to the United States of America, 100% created and fostered right here in the United States. True Blue Jazz, our mission statement is preservation through performance, and what we do is we spend a lot of time making sure that music and arts education makes its way back into our schools, although it is being cut dramatically from budgets across the country. Neuroscientists have found that music increases the volume of activity in the brain's corpus callosum, which is the bridge between the right and the left hemispheres. This results in better and more creative problem-solving abilities. We all know that research has existed for a long time that children engaged in musical activity, playing instruments or being in a band program, have increased scores for both math and reading across the boards, but the new neuroscience research is very exciting. This research details the neuron fireworks that erupt inside of a musician's brain when they play, and how it simultaneously activates and strengthens all corners of the brain, including visual, auditory, and motor cortexes. Playing a musical instrument engages practically every area of the brain at one time. So for all of those people that keep taking music education out of the schools, they're missing something fundamentally important to the health and well-being of the society as we go forward and the cognitive abilities of what we're doing with young people. True Blue Jazz, we produce a festival in the third week of October, and we bring world-class jazz musicians right here to Sussex County. We provide lots of opportunities for our local residents and visitors to enjoy those artists. We do have ticketed shows, but we also have over 12 shows every year that are free to the public. It gives families an opportunity to bring their kids out and see these artists. And the programs that we do in the schools actually bring artists into the schools to workshop with the kids. We do performances for the children, but more importantly, our artists engage with the children and workshop with them and actually get them ready for upcoming performances. Last year alone, we had many-time Grammy nominee Wyclef Gordon at Cape and Lopin High School. The Cape Jazz Band performs for us and the community on Saturday of every year. So that Friday workshop gives the kids an opportunity to pull out the stuff that they're working on. And if you could see the light bulbs going off in the minds of those children when you have someone the magnitude of Wyclef Gordon working with them, and then you see the performance the next day and you get the opportunity to hear how much those kids have stepped up because they were so engaged, it's really inspiring. We provide instruments to kids that can't afford them otherwise. We provide scholarships to kids that need them. We are engaged throughout the course of the school year with the music directors, so although our festival takes place in October, what we are doing with kids throughout the county happens all year long. We have presented instrument donations from Sussex Tech to kids in the Cape District. We've done interactive programs in Seaford, and what we're hoping that you folks will help us with today is to be able to expand what we're doing and what our reach is. Our festival is 100% community sponsored. We don't have any big, large corporate sponsors. You know, we're not funded by people like Coke or Pepsi or any big businesses. They are all small local businesses that support what we do in our community because they know we keep it in our community.
And that's countywide.
And that is countywide. You can see some of the photos. There's Wyclef with the kids at Cape and Lopin High School. There is the Cape and Lopin High School Jazz Band performing for the community at the Rehoboth Bandstand. We also just, we start our festival on Wednesday evening at Bethany Blues, and we do our Youth Jazz Appreciation Night. And so children from school districts around the county are invited to come perform, and those kids really light up with that as well, to give them an opportunity to play in a restaurant or a club format, as opposed to simply playing the school concert for their parents, really, really lightens them up. This was a program we did over at Seaford. We brought in the the cartoon Christmas Trio. These guys are all pretty amazing jazz musicians, but they connect the children to music they already know, and at the holidays they do performances of the Charlie Brown Christmas music, because of course all the kids know Charlie Brown. So then we went into the classrooms after the performance and workshopped with the high school kids. This was Seaford, where we had the high school children, and we had the kindergarten class as well. This is Jimmy Coleman. Jimmy just took a Grammy for his work with pop artist John Legend, but Jimmy is also a jazz musician, and Jimmy got right in there and started playing with the kids, and that was very exciting. The end of the program, the little drummer that he was working with was standing outside and holding himself up against the wall, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "That was the most exhilarating thing I've ever done in my whole life."
All volunteers, correct?
All volunteers, yes, sir.
Yep.
All volunteers. I mean, we're blessed to have some good people in the community that reach out with us. This is one of our sponsored venues, the Avenue Inn. We do free concerts here Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of that weekend. This is one of four of our sponsored locations, so that's one of the locations where our community has 12 opportunities to enjoy free performances aside from our ticketed venues. And that really becomes a wonderful opportunity for local musicians to get up, visiting musicians to get up. We have a small video clip coming up that I like to say, this is multiple award-winning, Grammy-nominated Latin jazz conductor, composer, arranger, and musician, Bobby Sanabria. Bobby Sanabria was one of our headliners last year. And can you make that play?
What Eddie and Peggy are doing here is fantastic. And
Bobby took a minute to talk about why our festival is so important.
Unfortunately,
you can't hear him here, but he goes on to say that this festival, this little small community festival we do, is among the most important jazz festivals happening in the United States of America because it is so bound to the community.
No, not through here.
This video clip shows you we'll talk to Kevin Short about that. We need to get you some audio. This particular video clip, which unfortunately you won't be able to hear, the gentleman holding the microphone is international jazz vocalist Giacomo Gates. Giacomo was our Sunday headliner. He popped down onto the patio, stepped up, and did a tune. The young man standing with the saxophone against the wall is Cody Level, and Cody is one of our great success stories. You will see a letter in that booklet from Cody. Cody was one of our kids at Cape and Lopen High School we took under our wing many years ago. Cody was so proficient, even as a high school student, we would take him out on professional gigs with us. Cody went on to Shenandoah Music Conservatory, got his degree there, came home, and played a little bit more with us, and then went out for 4.5 years on the road with the Glenn Miller Orchestra. And he was first tenor chair. And Cody is home back in the area. He is paying it forward because he is a music educator and still a working professional musician. And in this particular occasion, there was some young students in the audience that had come over from Washington, D.C. with their family. Cody's doing lessons around. He's a music educator, as I said. But in this particular format, this was, as I said, what I love to say we're all about. A free performance to the community, local musicians playing, an international headliner playing, and one of our guys who went on to have a storied career out there and came home. And then these two young boys that were in the audience that had come over from Washington, D.C. with their family got up and played with the group as well. So I'm happy to entertain any questions, but that's sort of it in a nutshell about what we do, and you have our booklet in front of you that tells you what the community thinks of us as well.
I think you have done a very good job
of educating us
and showing your enthusiasm.
Thank you.
Who's this?
Mr. Hudson, placed on the agenda. The last grant they did receive was $2,000. They're asking for $7,500, which was $1,500 from Mr. Cole and $500 from Mr. Burton.
That was through the magnanimous George Cole.
Yeah. Well, he was magnanimous, yeah. Mr. Hudson.
Well, I certainly want to follow Mr. Cole's footsteps. I'll do $1,500 from my account.
Thank you, sir.
And I'll give $1,500 from mine.
Thank you, Mr. Burton.
Thank you, IG.
Anybody else over here?
Did you see that picture of Seaford up there?
Wait, I did see. I'm not done.
I'm good.
You're out.
You're not working down in the Fenwick area, I guess, at all. This is confined to the Cape region.
Well, no, not the Cape region, because we have been, you know, working in Seaford and in over here in Georgetown. We would like to make our way down into the Fenwick area, sir, and hopefully additional funding will allow us to do that. As a community-sponsored festival, you know, our resources are still limited because, again, we're not pulling big, giant money from big corporate sponsors. That's why we're here today.
Yeah. And we're get in touch with the Freeman State and see if they would work with you.
They got plenty of money. Go see it.
Yeah, they do.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Burton.
15.
That's three. I'm going to give one. That's four. So $4,000 being $1,500 from Mr. Hudson, $15 from Mr. Burton, $1,000 from my account for the True Blue Jazz for festival expenses. Questions on the motion?
Are you going to have it perform here so we can?
No, sir.
If you.
Would be nice.
We're good. If you come forward, we'll do something.
They'll educate you, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion?
If I could just, Mr. Riley, you know, those kinds of outreaches that we're doing across the county, or we try to do, and we were able to do at Seaford, we'd love to do it. We'd love to do more of it, and it's not confined to October or, you know, in the bracket of October. It's, you know, if we can get access to a school through either one of you gentlemen, ladies, we're happy to put something together and take it to the school and do a jazz educational entertainment and educational program for them. So
we actually have also had the opportunity to do a couple of wonderful workshops with concert musicians.
Right.
We did a beautiful workshop with Reverend Norm Freeman, who is an Episcopal minister, a vibes player, but he is also a classical percussionist, and he tours with Barbara Streisand. And Father Norm came and did a timpani workshop with the kids. So although he's a jazz musician, what he decided to share with the kids was his classical side. So it's music across the board.
That was Memorial Week
yeah.
of 2016.
And the kids were already out of school, and they came back in right. on their own, of their own free will, to workshop with him because it was such a powerful and incredible opportunity for them.
Right. So if you can get kids to come in when school is closed.
You're doing something right.
Thank you, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Not voting.
Not voting. Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you
Thank
all
you very much.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, gentlemen. Ladies.
Ms. Jennings?
The next one is Delaware Seaside Railroad Club. They're requesting $500 for their new train display that is open to the public. Last grant received was $200, which was $50 from Mr. Cole, Mr. Vincent, Mr. Wilson, and Mr. Arlett. Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
Hudson?
I will do $100 from my account.
Anyone else?
Where is this located?
Wait. Good idea.
Delaware Seaside Railroad Club is?
It is, it's Ocean View.
Yeah. Ocean View.
Yeah.
Ocean View. Yeah.
Ocean City, isn't it?
No, Ocean View. Ocean View, down near Millville.
I'm just kidding.
You mess with me.
I'd be willing to do $100 from my account.
Mr. Hudson, $100. Mr. Riley, $100. Anyone else? Okay, motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Riley, grant $200 to the Delaware Seaside Railroad Club for holiday model train display, being $100 Mr. Hudson's account, $100 Mr. Riley's account. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Next.
And the last one is West Side New Beginnings. They're requesting $5,000 to help with the safety of West Rehoboth for paying for street lights in their community and repairs to their community center, which houses their youth programs. Last grant received was $2,250, which was $1,500 from Mr. Cole, $500 from Mr. Arlett, and $250 from Ms. Deaver. Mr. Hudson placed on the agenda.
Hudson.
I will do $2,500.
They got $500 from Mr. Arlett last time.
Yes.
They did.
Okay. I'd be willing to do the same.
Okay.
I'd be willing to kick in $1,000 with that.
Okay. So the motion will be to grant yours is 15.
25.
25. 35 and 5 is $4,000. $4,000 being $2,500 in Mr. Hudson's account, $1,000 in Mr. Burton's account, and $500 in Mr. Raleigh's account. For the West Side New Beginnings for Community Safety and Minor Renovations. Questions on a motion? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Burton?
Yes.
I have a yes, Mr. Carey. Thank you, Ms. Jennings.
Thank you.
Proposed zoning ordinance introduction, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have two. The first one is in, it says Mr. Burton and Hudson's district. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district and GR general residential district for sludge and wastewater spray irrigation to be located on certain parts of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 351.86 acres, more or less.
Either one of you care to introduce it?
Okay.
Mr. Burton introduces it.
Okay, and the next one is in Mr. Burton's district. An ordinance grant a conditional use plan in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a contractor's office and storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.69 acre, more or less.
I'll introduce it. Burton introduces it.
That is all.
Council member comments? Any council member comments? Hearing none, I make a motion to go in executive session for land acquisition.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I will yes. We're now in executive session for land.